to the men. And so I'm going to preach to the men for a few minutes this morning. I'll try to be done in 30 minutes. And everybody said, we'll see how she goes. And we're going to be reading from the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Now you know we're in trouble. But I'm going to fly through a chapter faster than you've ever seen in your life. Get yourself ready. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read the chapter, and then we're going to just pick up pieces from each section of the chapter and bring out points to you. It says in 2 Timothy towards the end of the Bible, chapter number 2, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who wants to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Now I'm going to stop for a moment, and I'm going to pick back up in verse 14. I want to tell you that Timothy is what is called a pastoral epistle, and it is written by the Apostle Paul to the pastors of the church. And so this is to the men of God, the leaders of the church. And so I can tell you right now that when I preach in just a moment, I'm going to pastor a little bit. I am the pastor of the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church. So I'm going to say some things that are pastoral today, if that's okay with you. If it's not okay with you, go on to the house. I'll eat your fish and your cupcake. Hallelujah. Verse 14. "Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene, among whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in every house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions." Everybody say flee. "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness." Everybody say pursue. "Faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. The title of my message today is Men of Valor. Everybody say MOVE. M-O-V. You know what that stands for? Somebody tell me. Men of Valor. Woo! Man, slow of heart. And hallelujah. Amen. I feel like Jesus today. I want to tell you today, I don't know what kind of dad I am or what kind of man. I guess I'm not the best of the best kind. I was looking at a Facebook post from my friend Bobby Groves the other day, and I don't believe in astrology or follow those things, but who doesn't know what their astrological sign is? Well, mine is a Capricorn, and it caught my eye because it said, what is your level of evilness? And so I was looking down the list there, and it had all the 12 signs, you know, and the second number three on the list, I can't remember the name of it, it was a Sagittarius or some Pisces or something like that, and it was anyway, whatever it was either 999 or minus 999. And this was on a scale of 1 to 10. And then there was the second highest one, and it was a 666 on a scale of 1 to 10. Now the rest of them were like 1 and 7 and 3. And then there was the Capricorn. And the Capricorn came in number 1 for evilness at the level of 1,000 on a scale of 1 to 10. So I'll let your imagination wander today on what kind of a father and a man I am when it comes to dealing with my kids and situations. And sometimes that's why I need God. That's why I need prayer. That's why I need to fast. That's why I need to be in the prayer closet, because I am a very evil man. I'm evil and I'm wicked, and it comes natural to me. And so I have to live my life in an unnatural state where God is constantly regenerating me and changing my thoughts, because I can say things that I know about you and twist it and turn it like a knife in your ribs. That's just the way I am. So we do a lot of listening, and we oftentimes have several different types of chains and locks that we put on our lips and our tongue, because we often say things and do things that really, really hurt people's feelings, and I can do it just like it's second nature to me. And so I'm mean, I'm evil, and I'm wicked. I'm one of those dads. And everybody knows that there's different kinds of men. There's different kinds of dads. There's men that are tough as nails. If you had a dad like that, say amen. And there's men that are soft, pushover teddy bear dads. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter if you're tough as nails or if you're a soft pushover teddy bear dad. Being a man of God, being a father, is never easy. It takes, now there's easy times and there's fun times, and there's times when it goes pretty good. But if you're a tough as nails man, it's hard to be a dad, because it's tough for you to express love and be gentle and kind when your natural inborn personality is to be rough and tough and mean. If you're a soft pushover teddy bear dad, and your favorite place to go with your kids is to the teddy bear factory in the mall, and you have your own teddy bear on your bed at night, and you're one of those guys, being a dad is tough, because it's hard for you to put your foot down, and it's hard for you to tell your kids no and to make them do what is right. But what I want to introduce you to, because time is short, is to what is called a man of valor. Hallelujah. And now there are a lot of men of valor in the Bible, and so I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a man of valor. I'll move quickly, so keep your pens handy and ready to go. The first thing Paul says to Timothy is to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus, and aim to please the one who enlisted him. him. It says in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 12, the angel of the Lord came to the judge Gideon, and he said this. We often quote it. Oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. But that is an incomplete and an impartial quotation, and it is not correct and exact. That is not what it says. It says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. The first thing that I want to tell you about a man of valor is that he knows who he takes orders from, and he knows in whom his strength lies, and he knows that his strength is in obeying his master. A man of valor is only as good as his master and his obedience to his master. There are a lot of men of valor in the Bible. Men that raised up and waged warfare. Men that were strong and skilled in killing people. And there were millions of people killed in the Bible in battles and wars. Many mighty men of valor were there. But I want to tell you something. You can be a man of valor and you can lose your soul. You can be a man of valor and you can be destroyed and defeated terribly and horrifically if you don't know God. If God is not on your side, the men of valor in the Bible succeeded. They rose and they fell at the whim and the will of the Lord God Almighty. And they took their might and their valor, and when they submitted to God, God made them victorious. A man of valor needs to know who he takes his orders from and where his help comes from. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 122, verse 2. David said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Paul said to the church in Philippi, chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, through him who gives me strength. I want to ask you, man, something today. Who do you take your orders from? Do you take your orders from your kids? Do you take your cue from your wife? Is she the one that really wears the pants in your family? Do you take your orders from the culture? Or do you take your orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You'll never rise to the level of greatness that God designed and created you to be until you learn to take your orders from Him and Him alone. Can I get a hallelujah or an amen or certainly from somebody? I don't care how tough you are. You're going to fall and fail unless you submit yourself to Christ. I don't care how soft and loving you may be. It is still never going to work out for you until you submit to the leadership and the authority of God. And when God is on your side, you cannot fail. No matter how hard you are, God will supply the missing tenderness in love. No matter how soft, weak, and pushover you are, God will supply the needed strength. That is what I want to preach to you today, church. We need to become men of valor, and a man of valor knows who his captain is and who he takes his orders from.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. Friend. This may not be what you're expecting to hear today. I'm moving on for sake of time. Hallelujah. The next thing. Hallelujah. That a man of valor knows. Paul is writing to Timothy. And he is in prison. And he says, I'm suffering. And I'm bound with chains as a criminal. Sometimes a man of valor understands that he is at times to time that he is going to have to fight by himself all alone. But one thing a man of valor knows, even when he's standing on the battlefield by himself, that he is never alone in the fight. Hallelujah, because God is on his side.
Yes, amen.
Even though a man of valor knows that he fights alone at times, he is never alone in the fights. But he will not give in or give up just because He is alone. In 2 Timothy, in the previous chapter, verses 15 through 18, we find Paul in Asia and has done great miracles and signs and wonders, my God. But we find that he has been deserted by all of the believers in Asia, and he is bound and in prison all alone. No wonder he wrote these things here. Hallelujah. No wonder he wrote these things, because he understood that there are times in the life of a man of valor when the only one that's going to stand their ground is you. There's going to be times as a man of valor that everybody else is going to go off and do what they want to do, but you're going to be stuck holding the bag and carrying on and being responsible. But a man of valor never cries and never whines and complains about it, because they know that even though they're alone in that current fight, they are not alone, because there are other men that are carrying on and doing the same things, and they understand that they are a part of an eternal worldwide network of men of valor who are under command from God, and that they are working and laboring and battling and fighting to hold the kingdom, to push the kingdom forward. It says in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, and 10, be sober minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The Bible says, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. A man of valor knows that even though he may feel and see physically to be alone in the fight, that God is with him, and that he is a part of an elite group of men in the world and in eternity who are standing their crown under commandment of heaven. And it says that after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you. Hallelujah. A man of God will stand his ground, even if he's the only one that is willing to do it, because he knows who his captain is, and he is intent on carrying out his captain's orders regardless of the trials that may arrive, and accompany his obedience. And then he goes on. He says, I'm bound in chains as a criminal. But in verse 9, but the word of God is not bound. A man of power understands that in spite of being physically bound, in spite of being spiritually opposed, that what he is preaching and what he is living and what he is standing for is right. And that right and truth in the kingdom of God cannot be defeated. It cannot be stopped. But the truth and the word of God will always prevail. And even though he may be suffering, and even though he may be in a battle, and he may be in the fight of his life, one thing he knows is that the word of his captain that has gone out into the earth will become rule of law. Eventually, the truth and right will prevail. It's in Isaiah 44, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, the prophet said, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. A man of valor knows that if he's got a word and a commandment from God, he cannot fail, but he will succeed in the end and be victorious.
Amen.
He knows that his Savior, amen, the captain of his salvation, became obedient himself to death, even death on the cross. And he knows that his Savior died at Calvary, but he knows that the grave could not hold his Savior, but that he resurrected from that grave 23 days later, and he knows that that same word of truth and that same resurrection power lives inside of him, and he has no doubt in his mind whatsoever. He may doubt that he can hold up. He may doubt that he can withstand. He may doubt that he is able to endure. But one thing he never doubts is that the word of his God will prevail.
Amen.
Though he may give his life for the cause that his captain has sent him to, the man of valor is more than willing to die on his God's behalf or to live for him, whatever the cause may be. And then it goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. I'm enduring all these things because there's a cause. I'm standing in the gap for the church so that other people can experience the salvation that is in Jesus and the glory of God that I know. And then he's going and he says, you know what, even if I die with Jesus, then I know I will live with him. And I know that if I will endure, I will reign with him. Hallelujah. And it goes on. He says, but if I deny him, he will deny me. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What is he saying? A man of God knows that you cannot keep a good man down. He may be alone in the fight at the moment in time. He may be the only one standing his ground for a little peace. He may be in persecution and oppression and spiritual oppression. He may be in a crushing time in his spirit and soul and body and life. But he knows that his word that God has given to him is going to prevail. And he also knows that when God in his word prevails, that as he has been humbled under the mighty hand of God, that God will eventually lift him up out of the ash heap. He understands the situation of Job and how that we are blessed if we endure, that if we hang on, even if it's just barely by a thread, that in the end, the victory of my God will lift me up, because my God is pitiful and full of tender mercies, and a man of valor knows you cannot keep a good man down. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on now, men of valor. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Woo! It says in Proverbs 24 and verse 16, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again. It stumbles in times of calamity. A man of valor knows you cannot keep me down forever. If you don't kill me, I will rise. You better kill me now, because as soon as the pressure lets up, I'm going to be on the track. I'm going to be running the race. I'm going to be on the hunt again, and I will rise in the power and the victory. My God can give to me. Hallelujah. If there's any men of valor in the house, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he goes on in verse 14 through 19, and I'm rushing because of time. Don't quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. You know what the word, the Greek word for ruins is? You'll never believe what the Greek word for ruins is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. The word in the Greek is catastrophe. A man of valor knows the word of God. He knows how to rightly handle. You know what that means in the Greek? It means to make a straight cut. How many of you guys have trouble cutting a board straight? I was working at the on the front porch of the activity building, some ride of boards, and I had my battery-powered Milwaukee circular saw, and I got my measurements right, and I drew my line straight with the triangle, and my carpenter's pencil, hallelujah, and I turned on my saw, and I dug into that wood, and what's wrong with this saw? Well, the blade was dull. And not only was the blade dull, but it was cutting crooked. How many of you have ever seen a circular saw that cuts crooked? My God, what was wrong with the thing? And I was just like, and finally it overheated the battery and it shut itself off. And I was like, and so I left and went to the house in a huff and a puff to go get my real circular saw with the real cord and real power on it, and came back and cut those cords up. And Sister Judy Tyree and Sister Misty Hagen were over there working, and they said, "We came out to see what's wrong. We heard some noise. I heard you holler." I said, "Well, that's probably a good thing you didn't hear what I hollered." It wasn't simple, but it probably wasn't very pretty. The man of valor, it says, rightly handling the word of truth. That a worker that does not need to be ashamed. If you go, "I got that board that was cut crooked, and I flipped it over and cut it with the other, and I hit it on the end and flipped it over so nobody can see." A worker that does not need to be ashamed. Avoid irreverent babble, the talk of ungodliness that spreads like gangrene, like ulcers and cancers. And so a man of valor knows the word of his God, and he refuses to quarrel over the word, but he studies the word. And he knows that pointless so-called spiritual arguments will destroy our body with disease and sickness, and our soul and our spirit and our mind will be eaten up alive with a spiritual cancer. And eventually these type of babbling and arguments will upset our faith and lead to catastrophe. A man of valor knows how to cut a straight line when he's talking to people about eternal things and spiritual things and the Word of God. A man of valor knows how to cut a straight line. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." In Ephesians 4, 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." A man of valor knows how to choose his words wisely, and he knows how to say the right things at the right time. How? It's because he knows the word of his God, and he knows that he is under commandment. He knows that he has been enlisted and bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. And so when he speaks, he knows that he speaks on behalf of his Savior.
Amen, yes.
The man of valor is not going to be running his mouth. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent." A man of God knows when to shut up and put up. That's right, brother. Come on. Got one amen out of that. But I guess I done hit a tender spot here. And I found a little sore spot. Yeah, a man of God knows when to shut his mouth and just stand for what he knows is right. He does have no need to debate with people over wrong and right, because he knows he's right. And you find somebody that wants to argue over wrong and right, it's because they don't really believe that they're right. It's because they're not really sure of what's wrong and right. But a man of valor that knows what's wrong and right by the word of his God has no need to argue or debate about it, because he is secure and he is determined and he is fully convinced and established in his mind, and he has no need to argue with you or anybody.
Right. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. A man of valor will not be suckered into debates and arguments over foolish and idiotic things that are not worth your time or your energy, because they know that if you get down into the mud with the pigs, that you will get money and the pigs will like it. And it goes on in 2 Timothy. And then it says that there is vessels of gold, silver, some wood and clay, some iron, some dishonor. But a man of valor knows how to keep his life clean. Cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. Hallelujah. And so he flees, chapter verse 22 in the first part, so he flees youthful passions and indiscretions. Hallelujah. He knows how to keep himself clean and honorable before God. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. A man of valor knows that when he keeps his mind clean, and he keeps his heart clean, and he keeps his life clean before God, that there is a peace, and that there is a joy, and that there is a spiritual worship, that his life is a life of worship. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, men, something. When you follow the path of God and become not just a man of valor, but a man of valor of God, I'm here to tell you something, that people will respect you. People will listen when you open your mouth. People will come to you when they are hurting and in need of help. But if you are frivolous with your life and you don't understand who you serve, and you go about bouncing around and blowing about like a leaf in the wind, or you're wishy-washy like the waves on the seashore, I'm here to tell you the only people that will follow you are the foolish and the vain and the bloodthirsty. But if you will live the life and be a man of valor and keep your life clean and do what the God has taught you clearly to do, you will bring victory to your soul, and you will bring victory and spiritual gifts to your family, and souls will be saved, families will be saved, movements will be started, and devils and demons will turn tail and run when they see you. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, there were sons of Sceva, chapter 19. There were sons of a Jewish priest. There were seven of them. And they seen what the Apostle Paul, a man of valor, a man of God, was doing. And they said, man, well, that's pretty cool. I think we can do what he's doing. Let's go ahead. I know this guy over here. He's, oh, man, he's way demon possessed. Let's go over there and do what Paul did. Let's go cast a demon. Everybody be looking at us. They run into this guy's house. They look at that demon-possessed man, and they said, in the name of the God, in the name of Jesus, the God that Paul serves. The devil looked at them. I've heard of Jesus. I have heard of Paul. But who on God's green earth are you? In that one demon-possessed man, did an IP man karate chop, Wing Chun, jiu-jitsu, of all the different names, of all the different things. And you don't think that stuff is of the devil. You need to read your Bible, right? I'm just teasing Jesus with you all day. And the Bible says he beat them seven guys up. One guy beat seven guys up. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says in the laws of Moses that if you will follow my commandments, that one of you will put 1,000 to flight and two of you will put 10,000 to flight because you are a man of valor. They knew who Jesus was. They knew who Paul was. But they didn't know who those idiots were because they didn't know who they were. But a man of valor knows who he is in his God. And he keeps his life cleaned up. And the demons tremble and fear. Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the wicked flee when nobody is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When he that is like a roaring lion meets a man of valor, he finds out what a roaring lion really is. And when a man of valor roars in the name of Jesus and in prayer and under the inspiration and power of God, I'm here to tell you all the fakes go running for the caves and the rocks and the crevices. And the next thing that a man of valor knows, not only does he know what to flee, but it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, the second part. He knows what to pursue. And I'm getting close to being done. And everybody said, hallelujah. Brother Phil is supposed to knock on the window when the fish is done. He isn't not the one to keep preaching. 30 minutes is coming and going. Hallelujah. I told you to laugh. To pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call the Lord from a pure heart. The word pursue, how many of you brothers like to hunt? The word pursue, often also translated as persecute, it means to hunt violently, to get something and to kill it. A man of valor knows what to run from, and a man of valor knows what to hunt for. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Hebrews 12, 14, strive for peace with everyone for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And then Romans 14, 19, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. A man of valor knows what to pursue in this. Paul said, I do not beat the air like a shadow boxer, but I know what to flee from and I know what to pursue. And then coming to a close, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the final verses 23 through 26. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome but kind. How many of you have heard of tough love before? Well, I'm here to tell you that most of the people that I've run into do have no idea what tough love is. Everybody say tough love. Tough love is not cussing out your kids. Tough love is not spanking and beating your kids, although that is a part of it at times when they're small. Tough love is not you getting your little temper tantrum on. The best word in the Bible to describe tough love is the word found in verse 23. Verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind. Everybody say kind. And to go along with that, in verse 25, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Yes. Now those are difficult words to translate into English, and they don't mean in the Greek what they mean in English. And so a lot of the innuendo is lost on us. But to be kind is to speak calming words that bring God's order to a situation. That when I open my mouth, I don't have to scream. I don't have to yell. I don't have to cuss. But when I speak the word of God, and it immediately differentiates and settles the scores and divides asunder and sets things straight. And when I correct opponents with a tough love, and the word there is gentle, it means gentle strength and power with reserve. What does that mean? My daughter was laughing. We were laughing at her, actually, because the other day she was telling us how she was going to raise her kids and all this kind of stuff. And it was funny. I just played Candy Crush and didn't say much. She said, and it was funny what she said, and when I talk, when I correct my kids, I'm not going to yell at them. I'm going to speak very quietly in their ears. They're going to be more afraid of me. And what's funny is, I guess she's picking up some things from church and from our life, but gentleness is exactly that. You know that you are in big trouble. Tough love doesn't need to yell, and tough love doesn't need to scream. Tough love just needs to speak the word of God and present, and you know, you know you are about to get in big trouble if you don't get your act together really quick. Why? Because we don't speak authority, we exude authority. People know if you mean business. People know if you're under authority. And by the words that issue forth from a gentle strength and from the power of God inside of you, when you speak, and they know that you're being reserved and you're holding yourself back, you speak with a pain and with a power. A man of valor, finally, our last point in those scripture, is he knows how to use words as powerful tools for truth and conversion. He not only knows what everybody says tough love is, but he has perfected the use of it. When a man of valor says, "That's enough," everybody knows that's enough. And he doesn't need to say it twice. Am I doing a little meddling here today? If you've got to repeat yourself, then you need to go back to school and get in submission to Christ and find out how to do things the right way. It says in James chapter 3, verse 17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and insincere." Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And then in Proverbs 10:19, "When words, as we said earlier, are many, transgression is not lacking. But a man of valor knows how to restrain his lips and use his words wisely and powerfully." And then the last scripture, 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Hey, that was perfect timing. I just finished my last point.
They never tap down. You just wait till the window.
Hallelujah. So let's all stand together at that. And we're almost finished, and we're just one fishtail away from letting you go out the door. You've already given your tithes and your offerings and your missions. I want to ask you a question, brothers, today. What kind of man are you? Are you a man of valor? What kind of man of valor are you? I know some come from broken families and broken relationships. I've dealt with many men over the years that were trying to see their kids and get custody over their kids. And you could tell they were angry and they wanted to lash out and they wanted to do stupid things and say stupid things. And I always felt in the Holy Spirit to compassion for them over the great longing that they had, the pain that they must be feeling. But I always give the same advice. Just calm down and be patient and pray about it. And God will work it out. And God will show you what to do. And the men that took that advice wind up not only oftentimes being able to see their kids, but even at times having custody over them. What am I saying? I'm asking you a question. What kind of man of valor are you? How do you deal with your situation? Who do you listen to? And how do you channel your energy, your strength, and your manhood? Is it by your wife? Is it by a girlfriend? Is it by your kids? Is it by the culture? Or is it by the devil himself? Or is it by the instruction and the guidance of the Spirit of God? I'm here to tell you that the best place to be in, if you want to have victory and you want to come out on top in the end every time, you better submit yourself unto Christ's teachings and to His Word, and let Him take control of your life. Let's all bow our heads together right now. If there's anybody that would like to come, I know the food is out.